I want to share with you something practical and applicable. The message is called What's in Your Hand? And one of the things that has always amazed me about God is his role as a redeemer. He took what literally destroyed people and turned it around and made it that which saves us. He took sin and became sin for us and became our Savior. Now, he just takes things that are destructive in the world that's fallen, and he turns it around. And one of the things that we all have are problems. You know, in heaven, you're not going to have problems. But in the world, we do. In fact, he said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, lighten up, because I've overcome the world. You have the law of gravity, which brings us down, and then the law of aerodynamics, which overcomes the law of gravity. It doesn't replace it, it just overcomes it, so planes fly. So the type of thing is that I see the Lord coming and intervening in our situation on a day-to-day basis and all throughout our years and lives that we are in this place called the world. But there's going to come a day when we're going to walk in heaven and there's not going to be any problems. But the thing is, Jesus wants to bring heaven to earth. And he wants us as spirit-filled Christians to walk in a realm where we experience heaven on earth all the time. And then that makes life really exciting and life full of life as it was intended to be. So I see Jesus coming as the problem solver. In fact, he's come to redeem us from all our problems. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You don't even have to be righteous to have afflictions. But he said the righteous have a specific benefit. Being saved, being in the covenant with the Lord, he says, although many will be your afflictions, and sometimes they're added by the fact that we have a devil who likes to oppose us, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver you out of most of them. Some of them. A few of them. All of them. I mean, you think, let that settle in for a minute. You know, he's taken what is set out there to destroy us, and he says, I want you to get a hold of me and get the life that I have to bring into your situation and transform your situation and make it into something really super powerful. So let's just take a look at some workaday situations that we read about and then put this all together, because this thing's going to end with a bang. So get ready. All right. Exodus 4 and 2. Sean, you have the big screen ready? Thank you. Exodus 4 and 2. You know the situation. Moses encounters the burning bush. And it's talking to him. And the Lord says, what's in your hand? Now, when God asks you a question, it's because he already knows the answer. And he's not so much trying to get information as he is to give you revelation. I'm going to say something. It's going to bother some of you, but that's okay. The reason why God doesn't seem to answer your prayers so much is because the answer is already staring you in the face and he's already answered the prayer. You just need to have your eyes opened to what the answer is because it's staring you right in your, right in front of you, or it might be right in your hands. So, the Lord's, you know, Moses said, how am I going to deliver these people? Nobody will listen to me. Nobody will pay attention to me. Who am I? I've got this long beard, been out in the wilderness, all I smell like sheep. You expect me to go to, you know, the president of Iran and get an audience with him and have him listen to me? I don't think so. And the Lord says, what's in your hand? And, you know, the story, he says, it's a rod. Good. He says, throw it down. Or in effect, give it to me. So he threw that rod down. And you can imagine that, you know, this was something he depended on. He became bonded to. And basically, he was giving it to God. And so in so doing, the rod, what happened to it? It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Mighty man of faith. This morning I uncovered a tarp, and there were two snakes, gardener snakes. And they startled me for a minute. You know, they were just little things, and they slithered away. But, you know, just snakes do have a way of getting your attention. Well, he fled from it. Let's move on a little bit. And the Lord says, Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. I just always love that. You do not pick up a snake by its tail. I mean, it's just the wrong way to do things. And it's just interesting, this walk of faith. We were just talking about this morning, how everything that God does is other. It's opposite than what you would normally think it to be. If it's, you know, in fact, one of the ways it's really easy to know God speaking to you, if it's so way out there, you know, it's so way out there. And it's the type of thing where it's picking up by the tail. Now, here he's just running from this thing. He's battling fear. He's in the presence of perfect love, which casts away fear. And he's having a faith crisis. And the Lord says, the answer is picking that thing up by the tail. Well, he does. And it becomes a rod again. It's interesting that this becomes a symbol of authority. The rod is a symbol of authority. Before, it was authority over sheep. Now, picking it up, it has authority over nations. He's literally going to bring to the knees of the strongest nation of the earth through that rod. As he throws it down in front of the magicians of Egypt, his rod becomes a snake. They throw their rods down. They become snakes. But his snake, his rod, eats up their rod. Their snake, that is. And it just shows where the authority is now resting. And so a whole transition takes place because Moses took what was in his hand and gave it back to God. Now, he had a problem, wouldn't you say? He had a situation that was just causing him no matter of fear. And the Lord says the answer is right in your hand. It's right in front of your face. What makes you think your problems are any different? I believe that the things that the Lord allows to come into our lives are designed by him to bring us into a more intimate personal relationship with the Lord. They're designed to bring us to God, not to take us away from him. So many times we get stressed out and we get so distracted that the last thing we do is stop and pray and ask the Lord, what is it that you want to say to me right now? Because the Lord's always speaking. And the thing that really cancels out his voice more than anything else is distraction and fear. Fear can cut off the love of God. And what happens is, we get into this control issue where we want to control the situation and we try to figure something out in our own human wisdom. And the Lord wants to say something to us that's going to just take us to another realm. You know, these accounts in the Bible aren't just nice little stories. They're invitations for us to encounter the Lord in like manner. When we read about Moses, the Lord says, that's you. You might be not necessarily in a situation where you're delivering a nation, but you might be in a situation where you have to deliver somebody who's dying of cancer. And he says, what's in your hand? Well, do you know, through the miracle of the internet, we can get connected to prayer outreaches and healing outreaches all across the world. One thing that I found when Debbie was in the hospital is that when we increased the prayer effort, when I picked up the phone, which was in my hand, and I started calling people, and they started letting people know, the prayer went literally around the world. She was in a situation where the doctors found that pneumonia had overtaken her body, and a little patch had grown, and they thought that within 24 hours that she would probably be dying of pneumonia. And so, she's already, she's in the trauma center. Her body's completely compromised. Her immune system's just flatlined. And, she's in a very vulnerable situation. And as a result of that, this pneumonia thing was a real crisis. So I got on the phone, made some calls. Within 24 hours, no patch of pneumonia, no problem. In fact, the doctor said must have been a smudge on the film. It was no smudge. It was the power of prayer. It was the power of one shall chase a thousand, two 10,000. It's recognizing that if the job's not getting done, we've got a problem. What are we going to do about it? I was hearing a testimony about this one gal who got on the internet with this program called Skype. You can literally call anybody in the world if they're on Skype. That's a thing that they have. And you can call them, and also you can do audio, visual, too. You can do like TV sort of stuff. And they Skyped into a prayer room over in Redding, California. And, the person was praying for them, and they had seen several breakthroughs in, I think it was pancreatic cancer or something? Some sort of cancer. It was last stages, go home, die type of thing. She had nothing to lose. But she got in touch with these people, and they prayed for her, and she got completely healed. What's in your hand? We live in a time where we should not accept a problem as unsolvable, as a situation untenable. It's just that we need our eyes opened. Hagar was thrown out into the wilderness. As you know, she was one of Abraham's wives. And the Lord commanded him to send her out into the wilderness. And so she's out there with her young son, infant, Ishmael. And she goes over behind a bush and she says, Lord, take our lives. We'll die of thirst. And an angel appeared and asked the question, why are you stressed out, Hagar? What do you see? Well, I just see empty, barren wilderness wherever I look. And it says the angel opened up her eyes and she saw water right in front of her. Why are these stories in the Bible? Because there's water right in front of us. And we're going somewhere with this. Hold on. But I want to just paint a picture. I want to just give you some stories. They're testimonies, people. They're testimonies of people who went before us. And they're not just stories on a page. They're accounts to encourage us that under an even better covenant than they were under, we have authority to have our eyes opened and see things wondrous. Genesis 22 and 13. Abraham goes up the mountain, obeying the Lord, to sacrifice his son. He lifts up the dagger and the angel says, "Stop, now I know that you love the Lord even more than your precious son." And it says in verse 13 that Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And there the Lord revealed himself to Abraham as the God who provides an answer in the midst of every problem. You see, it's a matter of having our eyes opened. There's something we can't see. We are bound by time, four dimensions. God lives beyond four dimensions into a whole different realm. And he wants us to see and hear from his dimension, from his perspective. Many times the problem so clouds our thinking, and we get so narrow in our focus that we shut out the very source of life that comes continuously from the throne, day to day. Now, how does this work out? I mean, how do we prepare for the big ones, the big problems? Through the little ones, the little bitty problems. You know, just as it is the little boxes spoil the vine, so the little problems can become that which builds your faith and your hearing to becoming mighty men and women of God, where every situation has an answer and every situation is available to you from the throne of God. God wants us to encounter the Word. He doesn't want us to just read it. And it's a living Word. That's why he gave us this name, because it's all about hearing him in your day-to-day situations. I mean, I'm amazed. I've been in planting phase, as I imagine many of you have been. And you know, I've just been amazed at how God has provided everything I need for the harvest. During the planting season phase. I mean, like, you know, I go and cut wood, so there's sawdust. Sawdust makes great mulch. I mow the grass, there's more mulch. You know, there's stones. Oh, goodness, are there stones? Well, we have a stone driveway that's constantly filling with ruts. The stones go there. I mean, it's just, there's no end to the, you know, in the suburbs, everybody pays to haul this stuff away. You know what I mean? And they call us country bumpkins. Goodness, you know. All this was provided by God for us. It all has a purpose. It all has a need. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that we'll pull oil from the flinty rock. Do you know that? And just recently, they found out that this Marcellus shale releases the gas from which everybody's drilling and making all kinds of arrangements to the countryside in this present place and area. But, I mean, there's things where we just have our eyes open. It's all in the Word of God. And what's not in the Word of God is in the hearing. But if you approach every situation, every problem that you have from the perspective is God, you've got an answer. Would you open up my eyes? Would you show me what I have in my hands that I can use to meet the need of this problem that's before me? And it's just phenomenal what the Lord will do and what he'll start showing you. And I imagine from time to time, you know, when things get really desperate, you call upon the Lord. Well, what about the little things? Those are the things that the Lord uses to guide you and prepare you for the big ones. And, you know, when Debbie drowned, we were prepared. I think I shared with you that a month before that, I had taken a group of kids to an ambulance corps where they did CPR on a dummy. And, of course, none of the kids wanted to do it, so I was volunteered. And they didn't have the adult dummy that was out, wherever dummies go. And they had the child dummy. God had prepared me a month before that whole situation. He prepared us for what to do in a crisis situation. You know, people were coming to us and they were, they were concerned, but they couldn't do anything. And we knew how to pray in tongues. We knew how to just intercede in the Spirit through the whole time. We know how to praise the Lord when we couldn't pray anymore. You know, we were just prepared. You know, he had already given us everything we needed to confront that problem and take it from the natural into the spiritual realm. And, it's the type of thing like I was involved heavily in deliverance the previous years. Our church was really involved in that a lot, so that when we encountered the spirit of death that was trying to take our daughter out, we could identify and discern that and go after it and see it completely canceled out. In fact, my wife and I got the discernment of that spirit and its attack upon my daughter simultaneously. And when we took authority over that, when we heard from heaven and took authority over it at that specific moment, the whole situation began to turn around for her. For every problem, there's an answer in God. No matter how dramatic, no matter how difficult, there is a provision. He's the Redeemer. The Redeemer comes to buy back. And the neat thing is when he buys something back, he gives you more than you had before. I don't want to go back to the Garden of Eden. That's too limited. What God has in store under the redemption is far greater. It's far more marvelous. You know who Shamgar is? He's in the book of Judges. And there's just a few lines about him. But he was in a situation where he was surrounded by bad guys. And he took an ox goad, which he just happened to have in his hand, and he slew them all. Why is that in the Bible? Because he had a problem, and God had the answer, and it was right in front of him. He had the eyes to see it. Ever see these Jackie Chan movies? Is it Jackie Chan? Yeah, I think it is. The interesting thing about him is that he takes whatever is in his environment to use for his defense, right? I mean, it's quite remarkable. If there's a cup, he'll use that, put it in somebody's nose, and then, I don't know what he does. But, it's the type of thing where he uses what's at hand. And we often don't realize that we have everything we need. And if we don't have it, he is the way who will make a way. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be a bondman, to be bondmen." And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what have you in your home?" I have a book that I got on stuff that you can use to grow incredibly large, beautiful plants that you have just lying around in your home. It's just stuff you can get at the grocery store. You don't have to go out and buy all this expensive stuff. You probably have it already in your closet. In fact, I was on a plane reading the book, and they came and they brought these sandwiches, and I put mayonnaise on it and then squeezed it, and the mayonnaise went right on my shirt. And since I was traveling, I had a pretty nice shirt on, and I went, "Oh, no." And I just read that if you take Coca-Cola, and put it on that, it'll take it right out. And I said, well, so the gal was coming right at that time. I mean, it gets fun. It really does. You get to see how the Lord's just putting this all together. You know, here you are 3,000 feet in the air, or 30,000 feet in the air, I guess, and you're having an encounter with God, you know? And it's like, here she comes. I said, I want Coke. And I took it right out. I was like, yes. I mean, this is cool. But this is how it starts. The little things. No problem's too small for God. But you say, Lord, take me on adventure. I know I'm going to have problems. I know I've got stuff. But would you take me above the stuff? Would you show me the solutions that are right around, all around me, that are right in my front of my hands and my face, that I don't see the potential of? And marvelous stuff that, like bananas, banana peels. Do you know that they're like the perfect fertilizer? Everything you need, just throw that right in there. And if your melons are not sweet, add a little sugar to the root system. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You know, just stuff that you can do. Things that Lord, open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Show me great and wondrous things. And you know, the thing is, the Bible is just the starting point. It's to encourage us that there's problems that are out there waiting for a divine demonstration of God's divine intervention so that you can get ready to take other people through, like Elijah's doing for this young lady. Do you think Elijah just one day walked into his anointing? Just boom. I don't think so. I think it was line upon line, precept upon precept. I think he learned what he had been anointed with by problems that came, and then he got a hold of God and he saw the solutions. And then it was greater difficulty upon greater difficulty. Now, here comes a situation where a woman whose husband was a Bible student, you know, he's finishing up Bible school and he dies. And now her kids are going to be taken away to become slaves. I mean, here's a woman who's been serving God. They've been living righteously. This is obviously not the will of God. What are we going to do? Well, she just happened to know Elijah was around. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I mean, have you ever had a situation where right at a desperate moment, God places somebody strategically in your path? I remember at a very critical point in our walk with the Lord, God sent this crazy evangelistic cab driver from New York City. He found us out in the middle of the wilderness. I don't know how. He stayed at our house, and he had the word of the Lord that he just dropped on us. And he wasn't one that would give the word of the Lord. It just kind of, he says, whoa. He says, I just got a download from God for you. Blah, 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 blah. And it was the word of the Lord. I mean, it was just, and then he's off and going. There was a situation where the Lord wanted to teach me more love. So he brings this guy into my life who is like the most difficult guy to love I've ever encountered up to that point. And and through a series of adventures, you know, gets me to reach out to him and embrace him and weep over him with God-given love, to receive the love of God and give it out to him. I mean, he used this difficult problem. This guy smelled bad, looked bad, did everything bad. And, you know, I'd come to church and there he was. He wanted to sit next to me. You know what I mean? And so I'd sit in the front. He'd be in the front, sit in the back. You know, I just couldn't avoid this guy. And then it got so that God turned up the heat a little bit. Because he says, no, you don't avoid the problem. You deal with the problem. There's an answer. I sent this for your benefit. You're going to get a hold of me somewhere in this. And the way he did it was he turned up the heat. When I go to the hardware store, there he was. When I go to the, you know, name a store, Walmart, there would be. You know, I mean, on and on and on. I mean, just one thing after another. And I realize, God, you're in this problem. And so, I asked for the love of God. It came. It just came like a burst from on high. Just overwhelming. Just, oh. And I went to him, found him in town, embraced him. And you got to imagine, this guy had never been loved by anybody. He's so repulsive. I just did. I just loved him with the love of God. And he was so overwhelmed with that. He reached in his pocket. He pulls out this little thing that she used to blow up tires with, little valve thing that she, little valve stem. You know, no pump, just the... He says, here. He says, thanks. On the way home, guess what I got? Flat tire. And God, you know what I mean? He takes the natural, brings it into the supernatural, but he organizes problems for your benefit. And if you go through the problem, then you miss the solution. You miss out on an opportunity that God's wanted to reveal to you. Now, if you bought an older home, you have such an opportunity to meet God. You ought to rejoice every day and say, thank you, Lord. You know, I'm always amazed at situations that come up that are way beyond my level of understanding. And, you know, I'll go to the Lord, and he'll be so inventive in how he shows me what to do. Whether he connects me with somebody or whether he shows me by direct revelation what I need to do to get the problem dealt with. Well, all right. He says, what do you have in your house? And she says, I don't have anything except a pot of oil. Well, all he needs is just a little bit of the Holy Ghost. You have that much. You know the rest of the story. He says, go out and gather empty vessels and start pouring out that oil. And when they're all filled up, go sell it. Take care of the problem. Problem solved. Do you have anything harder? You know what I'm saying? A miracle takes place. And when did the oil stop? When there are no more empty vessels. So we have a few empty chairs yet, so there should be plenty of oil flowing for us to go out there and invite our neighbors and friends to come on out. You know, one of the things the Lord's been putting on my heart is to have a church picnic, say, over at our house, and then invite all our neighbors and just have you folks love on them. Just sort of redeem the whole thing. We could do that in a location near you. You know what I'm saying? Instead of it just be a time for us, let's just do something where we just pour out the love that he's given us on others. I mean, what's in your hand? Well, I've got hot dogs. I've got some mustard. I've got a phone. I call some folks and watch them come. See what I'm saying? We can fill this place up. It's just a matter of just getting out there and pouring out. As soon as we pour out, there'll be more lives transformed. All right. Jesus is coming through town, and there's a blind man, and he hears that Jesus is right there. So he calls out, says, Lord Jesus, help me. Disciples tried to calm him down, but he wouldn't be calmed down. He cries out all the louder. And Jesus comes to him. He says, what do you want me to do? A question. I don't know. Has God ever come to you with a question? It's a time for you to identify what it is you want to do. It's just time to be very specific. I get very specific. I'm not general. I don't go walking into a hardware store and say, I want something round. Well, how big? About, oh, I don't know, just round. Well, how big? Oh, just sort of biggish, roundish. No, I'm very specific. I want a ball bearing, such by such by such by such, all right? And they either have it or they don't, you know, specific. And I'm that way with God in whatever situation comes my way. Just, you know, Lord. Or, you know, as of late, it's like I have all this stuff here that is a byproduct of this combustion. Now, what do I do with this? You know, and the Lord begins to show me what I could do with it. Or, you know, this that would normally be thrown out. What could I do with this? Like cardboard from the Harp and Bowl, or excuse me, from the Angel Food, or close to that. You know, cardboard, it's great for extending gardens. All you do is just put it down on the grass, put some material over it, compost, whatever. You don't even have to rototiller. You know, it kills the grass, draws up the worms. The worms make all the holes you need. They do all the rototilling. And then you can plant the garden in the same day. You know, just, but it's just stuff that's normally thrown. Lord, what can I do with the stuff that's around? It's just, it's normally just, so what opportunities? How can I make money with the things that, you know, I have around the house? Now, how can I release money for the kingdom? Or whatever purpose that you might have. You know, just what's in your hand? All right, let's bring this to a conclusion. We're going to get you out early tonight. Psalm 84. There's lots of little stories, but you're getting the message. You know the point. Psalm 84, we'll read through it. Ah, how great is thy church, O Lord. And that's us now. We're the tabernacle of God. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God. Blessed are they that dwell in my house. They shall still be praising thee. There's something about the experience of coming to the house of the Lord that builds up your faith, that releases a blessing, that encourages you. You know, when you come and you hear the word of God, that is the rhema of God, the time of the word to be released to you, the kairos moment word, life is released. And you might come in here just kind of like, oh, man, I don't know. I just don't think I make it through the day. I just feel so. What's happening is life is being released through his word. He says, my words are spirits and they are life. If you hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to you today, you will be lifed. Just like I am when I'm out there mowing the grass and the word of the Lord comes to me, it just lifes me. It's like, oh. And all of a sudden the wheels start turning. And I say, goodness, Lord. Wow, the application of this gets huge. All right, let's move on. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them. When you get sick, what's the first thing you do? Do you go to a doctor? Do you call, you know, or do you pray? Do you stop and ask the Lord? He's saying, where's your strength? Where's your source? When you're in a situation financially and you're in a crisis, what do you do? Do you go out and get a loan or do you get a loan with God? I mean, you know, just how do you approach the problems that come? The Lord is saying, blessed is the man whose strength is in me and whose heart are the ways of them that put their strength in me. Who passing through the valley of Baca, what is that? Valley of weeping or trouble. Make it a well. The rain also fills the pool. Now there is our authority for asking the Lord for an answer in every problem. There's a promise here. He says, when you go through difficulty, you can make it a well. There's two dynamics that happen in the problem. First of all, there's something coming up from the bottom. And the second thing is the rain coming down from the top, filling. You get a double blessing. In the problem, there's a double blessing. There's one coming up. There's one coming down. You hear that? You see that? Let's just take a look at that for a moment. What's that coming up? That's well water, people. That's subterranean waters from the previous moves of God. The stories that we read about Abraham, about Moses, about Shamgar, about Samson. You know, he took a jawbone of a donkey, slayed 1,000 people. Okay, you read these stories. Well, what happened? It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he took that up and he slew all them. All his strength and everything else came upon him. And in his experience, it came upon him. But in us, it comes up and on us. It comes from within. Any case, there's all these testimonies. There's all these experiences. There's all the revivals that have gone before us. Finney. Catherine Kuhlman. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. All these previous moves of God are like the subterranean waters that are available to us if we'll just dig and pull from them. It says when you go through trouble, you dig a well. You get whatever there is out there that speaks of the past, of what God's already done. You build your faith up on the testimonies, whether it be the Word of God, whether it be belief in the former moves of God. How many of you experienced the Toronto blessing? Remember that? I believe everybody did. Okay. You would think that that's a former move of God. It's no longer here today. Subterranean waters. It's there all the time. You have a desperate need for the blessing of the Lord, the Father's blessing. It didn't go away. It's still there. You just dig. Take some time. Open up the book. Pray. Ask the Lord to life you with a promise or two. Dig that well. Dig deep into His Word. He says, in the valley of trouble, you're going to make a well. And up is going to come an answer. And then that's going to be met with the power from God, the rain also filling the pools. Hello? Is this impacting anybody today? This is good stuff. This is revelation. You got a double blessing. Every problem, something that is in your hand, something you can do. And then God meeting you with His supernatural empowerment, the rain. Now look what it goes on to say. And did you notice we're passing through? We don't stay in the problem. Aren't you glad? They go from what? Strength to strength. Every one of them appears in Zion. Or every one of them in Zion, the church. Every one of them. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them. In Zion. That's all of us. We're all the church. Appears before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God, of Jacob. Selah. Jacob was rich. He had problems. But he turned to God and God gave him solutions. Amazing story of how he used genetics and inbreeding to turn a desperate situation into a fortune. And it's all because he heard the word of the Lord and he asked for a solution in the midst of a very difficult situation. I mean, he was up against a cheat that was a bigger cheat than he was. And he was stuck. And so it was only God and him. And God gave him an answer in that situation. Why is that there? Well, he digged a well. And God answered with supernatural empowerment. He sent the rain. And then it got so that his flock was so big and so prosperous that Laban took his flock and says, here, you take the other ones. He started all over again. And the Lord increased him, and the Lord increased him. Once again, it got so that he got so big that finally he said, you're going to have to leave. You know, it's just, you just. Actually, he wanted to leave. You see, he recognized that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The blessing of the Lord was upon him. Do people recognize the blessing of the Lord upon you? Do they see how you can get a hold of him in situations and come out with the supernatural answer? You know, it's never too late to start. And it's in the little things that we move mountains. Mustard seed is all it takes to move a mountain. It's in the little things that come. But you know, we bring the answer with us into every problem. There's a ram in the thicket already waiting for you. Open up my eyes that I might see. Open up my ears that I might hear. Lord, you promised that in every problem, I'm going to go from strength to strength. So on the basis of that promise, I'm just going to hang here until I get an answer. And it will come. And there will be a solution. All right? You catching this? Enough said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to become more dependent on you. Father, to recognize that you sent everything our way so that you can redeem it and redeem us and take us from strength to strength, faith to faith, and glory to glory. Help us not to miss one opportunity. Help us not to miss one chance to get closer to you, to experience your intervention in whatever problem comes before us. Father, I thank you that you said that we'd take the mountains and we'd cast them into the sea. Father, I thank you that there's no problem too big or small that through your grace can't be moved. And Father, we sang today that you can move the mountains. We think that it's only the big ones that you do, but it's everything. Help us, Father, to trust you in the small things as well as for the big. And Lord, open up our eyes that we might hear and see. Open our eyes that we might see. Lord, the tremendous opportunity that awaits us. Instead of with dread, let there be anticipation. Let there be faith. Let there even be excitement at the possibilities that are before us. And we thank you, Father, for your promises. Lord, help us to dig the well with those things that you've given us that are in our hands. And we wait on you to send the rain. And everyone said, amen.